your knights are in another castle. All your base are belong to us. It's dangerous to go alone. Listen to this. The Knights of the Game Table Podcast.
This is the Knights of the Game Table Podcast. I am your host, Queso Bandito. On this episode, that's pretty good, right? We're going to kind of poll our opinions on several different topics. So I'm just going to go ahead and get into it. Joining me on these discussions today is our fearless leader, Mr. Daniel Slade. And my comrade in arms, I guess, Mr. Nate Shepard.
Howdy.
So, Nate, you kind of lost it there at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Just.
It's been a while since he's joined the round table, apparently. So
it's been a little bit. You know, I my sword's gotten a little rusty, but I'm back.
So let's get into it. The first topic that I have on the table is Payday's terrible crime fest that they had. This, I think it actually ended a couple weeks ago. What I'm mainly getting at is the fact that they introduced these things called safes in the game, where it was a random drop, because after you finish any mission or whatever in the game, you get a random drop. Well, your chances included getting one of these safes. Now, once you got one of these safes, what you could gain from that is a weapon skin, which can apparently alter the statistics of the weapon itself to improve it.
Are these the things that they had to pay the $2.49 to access?
Yeah, so that's the bad part about it. When the safes first got released, you had to pay $2.49 for a drill to open the safe.
That's crazy.
Yeah, ridiculous.
The entire community revolted because Overkill promised that they would never do microtransactions in Payday 2. They quoted them actually in an AMA with the head director. So very interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So
this knife's just kind of been waiting to plunge into the backs of the community, apparently.
So what they did, they put a tiny little Hello Kitty Band-Aid over this huge gash.
Oh, gosh.
By letting the drills be a random drop.
So you got a random drop safe, and then the only way to open it was to get a random drop drill.
Or buy a drill. They still let you buy drills.
It's an option, but hey, guys, it's okay. There's like 1 in a billion chance that you'll find one. So this is good, so right? Right.
What was Overkill's response for basically the community throwing their words back in their face?
I am glad that they responded this way, but they said they stuck to their guns. They said that they thought it was a good idea and they still think it's a good idea. The safes are actually going to be, they're taking the safes away. Actually in the next few days, it was supposed to be like a limited time thing. So I'm not sure how they're going to bring the safes back. And the reason why I think they're going to bring the safes back is because I think they do want to push out the weapon skins part of the game. So, I don't know, but, like I said, they definitely stuck to their guns whenever they got mauled in an AMA.
That's good. I mean, at least they're honest, you know, in that sense. I mean, it's kind of sketchy with the whole we'll never do this thing, but I don't know. Maybe there's a change of leadership somewhere. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, and I guess I'm not trying to put the spotlight on Overkill or anything because, I mean, either way, I'm going to give them my money anyway. So I'm just one of those people.
Yeah.
Although, Overkill, if you're listening to this, I would like my my completely Overkill item that y'all promised us during Crime Fest. So, just that. which they push back and they're blaming Valve for it. So, I don't know how that's going.
The microtransaction thing, though, is just, it's killing me in video
games. It's a recurring theme.
That's what I'm
You're getting blasted, but we'll hold that until you're ready to talk about it.
No, yeah, that's exactly what I was going to bring up was, microtransactions in video games. Are they good or are they bad? What are your opinions on them?
I think they're horrible.
I think they're terrible. Honestly, I really think it's just that all of these companies, at least, you know, the ones that the communities hate right now because they're doing this, I think that they've realized that demand for these games, or for at least some of these series that they're adding these, you know, prices to, they've realized that the demand for those things is just a little inflexible. Like, people are going to spend money on it anyways, because, I don't know, it's like a big series, a big title, and so everybody's already devoted to the story or the multiplayer, whatever it is, that they're going to get it because they love the franchise. And because demand's inflexible, they can do these things without breaking, you know, the tolerance of their communities. Like, they'll lose a few people, but in the long run, they're making more money. And they're going to do whatever makes them more money. Unless they're freaking amazing and they just freaking love their community. It makes sense in that regard. But it's definitely just it feels like a sucker punch if you are a person that loves some of these franchises.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the idea of the microtransactions, but... So it's kind of weird. So Batman, the Arkham Knight, came out a while back, and they included a $40 DLC that came with it that you were guaranteed a certain DLC each month
for six months?
Yeah, the season pass. So the DLCs have been coming out, and some of them have been crap. Some of them are extra stages. Some of them have been cool, you know? So... I don't know how I feel about that season pass. You know, I paid $40 for it. I got some crappy things, you know, some months, and I got some cool things other months. Nintendo, they had Smash Brothers came out. Smash Brothers they released a game with, like, I don't know, it was like 40, 50-something characters. And now they're coming out with additional characters, additional stages that they add every couple months. So, I mean, you're paying another $30, $40. I think I've spent probably another additional $60 on Smash Brothers just to get all the characters in that game.
Wow.
Things like that I think I'm okay with, because it's adding on to a game that I felt was already a complete game. They're just continuing on. But, like, things like... what was that game that came out not too long ago? I can't even think of the name of it. There was a game that came out not too long ago that it just felt like it was... They released a game, and then, here, pay us an additional $40, and we'll give you the rest of the game.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a title like that. Describe almost the one you're talking about.
EA game ever?
Yeah, I mean, I can't even think of it off the top of my head right now. I was like so pissed off about it when I was reading about that. I don't know. It'll come to me in a dream. Call of Duty's kind of like that. I mean, you get like what, a handful of maps, and then you have to pay right off the bat for a season pass to get additional maps to play multiplayer.
Yep.
Transformers Devastation, that game just came out. Everybody said that the game felt incomplete, but oh, guess what? Now they're releasing additional characters and additional story modes for that game. So yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
Battlefront is also a big a huge controversy right now for a lot of people, because they feel like they're getting gypped, because, you know, the game is beautiful, it has that going for it, but then a lot of people are complaining about, you know, a lot of the content that was there that's been torn out, such as split screen, I think, was a thing, wasn't it? With the other ones, you could do two people on one system, which I don't...
I think split screen in general is just dying out. I mean, they did it with Halo 5, didn't they?
Halo 5, which was freaking ridiculous. They've never done that with the Halo games.
And it seems like if Halo 5's not going to do split screen, it's almost the death of split screen.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's for real. They found out no one actually
has real friends.
Do what?
they found out no one really has any real friends
that
actually sits with them.
Their excuse was so absurd. I read it and I was like, what BS? Like, do you not see the fit that is hitting the Shan right now? It's flying around the room. Like, yeah, it, oh man, that made me angry.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It, there's, it, and I'm with you, Daniel, where, like, I think if you have to buy content and it sort of extends the game without it being a necessity, then I'm sort of okay with it, because, you know, it gives me the option to buy it or not. Whether, if I really like this game, yeah, I guess I'll, you know, buy that thing. Or if I'm playing a game and I have to buy this extra DLC in order to keep playing it, it just, that makes it difficult.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's like Tomb Raider's getting ready to come out, and they're introducing what you pre-order the game and with through GameStop, and you get that hand cannon that's supposed to be like the super-powered gun.
Yeah.
Well, if, like, let's say you're playing a Call of Duty game or something like that, and one of the DLCs that you could purchase is this like amazing gun that kills people in the one shot. That's unfair to people who don't want to spend additional money, or who can't spend additional money.
Or who don't want to pre-order from GameStop.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm okay spending additional money to maybe add a Ryu to Smash Brothers just so I can have him. But he's not a necessity for me to play that game.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I'm fine with microtransactions that are just, you know, like, if it's just changing the look of my gun or my character, like, you know, it's optional stuff. Nothing that enhances the way I play or, you know, gives me some sort of advantage over other people. Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with that stuff, like you guys were saying, but yeah, it's anything that tips the balance of things or adds content that should have been there in the beginning is just a little ridiculous to me. It's lazy.
Not to mention pay to win. Pay to win is just...
Oh yeah, that's the worst. That's definitely when it just... Yeah, no, I'm never going to spend money on that.
See, guys, a long time ago, there used to be this thing where you used to have to play the game all the way through, and if you beat it like certain ways, you actually unlock things in the game instead of having to pay for it.
Games were, I mean, honestly, quality is dropping because of these things. Like, they think that, I feel like game developers think it's acceptable now to just, you know, reduce content more and more. Which for them, I guess, is more of a payoff, that less effort and you get the same amount of money or something. But like Halo 5, for instance, it was clocked in at about 4.5 hours to beat the campaign.
That's ridiculous.
Like, that's nothing compared to the past campaigns.
Yeah.
Nothing. A fraction of the time.
I mean, Marcus, could you imagine buying Final Fantasy 15 and every time it was time for you to add a party member to the group, a little thing popped up that said, "You can get Cloud to join your party for $13.99.
All I can say is I'm glad Square Enix makes Final Fantasy.
But I mean, that's what it feels like when you play some of these games. Yeah. It's just like to see the ending, pay $4.99.
Yeah. To get past the title screen, only $2.99.
Oh man.
To play as the main character.
Well,
$3.99.
I'm sure we could bash we could probably bash Michael transactions all night. So I'm going to go ahead and move it forward to some pretty decent news, depending on how much of a fan you are. But the Warcraft trailer came, or the full Warcraft trailer came out on Friday, this past Friday. Did either of you see it?
Yes. I just watched it.
What'd you think?
Okay. So, Warcraft trailer. For me, if there's going to be a Warcraft movie, they have to include 30 hours of grinding. I mean, I need to see it. I need to be able to sit there and watch somebody grind for 30 hours and level up before they continue on with the film.
You really need to watch those Carbot animation videos, at least of the Warcraft, dude. They are hilarious.
Oh, gosh.
And if anybody from Carbot's watching this, feel free to join us on an episode. I'd love to talk to you. I'm obsessed with your videos.
The trailer looks good. I'm kind of confused. Are the humans and the orcs teaming up, I guess, to fight other orcs?
Well, it's kind of both. I think the orcs are rising up against the humans, and then there's going to be a little faction of the orcs that are like, oh no, the humans, we should work together. And so they're going to fight their brethren.
Yeah. I mean, because a similar thing happened actually in the not this current expansion, but the previous expansion of World of Warcraft, Mists of Pandaria, where the humans and the Alliance and the Horde joined together to defeat Garrosh Hellscream, which he was actually the leader of the orcs at one point. So interesting. But anyway, so yeah, it seems like they're coming together for some common enemy type of thing.
Interesting. It looks good. There's some cartoonish looking effects that I hope they maybe tweak by the time the actual movie comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the orcs are completely animated, so.
Yeah, they look fake. I mean, and I know that's just a trailer and they'll probably have it fixed by the time the movie comes out. I just hope it doesn't look that cartoonish when the movie does actually come out.
Yeah, I think if Blizzard wants a success, if they truly want a success out of a movie that's been in talks for years, many years, they really need to put a serious effort into it, and they could, you know, be like everybody else and turn it into a trilogy. But we'll just have to see how the first try goes, I guess.
Yeah, it's definitely risky because there's so much pressure riding on this because so many people want it or have wanted it for so long. But also, I mean, in my personal opinion, I feel that it would have been better to just go fully animated rather than mixing animated with live action, because I just feel like it shows the animation in a poorer light when it's right next to a real person. Whereas if they just did the whole thing animated, I feel like it would have looked a lot better. Like, you know, Knights of the Old Republic trailers and, you know, StarCraft trailers.
I mean, I know that they have their animation down. Like, if you've seen any animated trailer for any one of their games, they look amazing.
Blizzard is great at that.
They're definitely known for making a game look a billion times better than it actually is.
Yeah, it's true. Just
to be frank and honest, that they make them look a million times better than they actually are. So,
they're good at that.
I don't know. It definitely could have been all animated, and you may not have even been able to tell the difference. That's how good they are.
Yeah.
So, well, anyway, moving along and actually sticking with Blizzard, because they had BlizzCon this weekend, they talked about Overwatch, which is their new game that they've been producing. It's actually a first-person shooter. It's kind of like I don't really
Team
know
Fortress?
How to describe it. Yeah, that's actually what I was going to say. I think it's kind of like Team Fortress. They got 21 different characters, and they have unique weapons that they can shoot and fight with and stuff like that. None of the characters are from any of their previous games, so everyone's unique. This is a whole unique type of game. It definitely has the cartoonish look of World of Warcraft, though. So a few details about it. Blizzard actually made this starting with a console.
Interesting.
Yeah, so actually going to be on the consoles and PC, but this is their first game that they've made where it's based off of the console.
Is it cross-platform?
It is. It's not going to cross with a PC.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
But the PlayStation and Xbox will cross?
I think so. I mean, the only detail I've actually read is that it won't cross with a PC. And also, what shocked actually a lot of people at BlizzCon was that this is going to cost $40.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, everyone, this is their first game that they're selling since, because their last two games that they came out with are free to play, which is Hearthstone and Heroes of the Storm. So, which are microtransaction based.
But right. They're selling it for $40 because they are going to charge a monthly subscription, right?
No, it's more like a kind of like a Counter-Strike is a one-time payment, and you play it after that. Have you played Counter-Strike or no?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So it's like that sense where you pay and that's pretty much it.
Hmm.
So,
Well, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. And I mean, that's big coming from them, because a lot of their stuff, I mean, historically has been monthly subscription. But
yeah, I mean, like Marcus and I sat and figured out that with their 5.5 million players on World of Warcraft, that they were making, what was it, $50 million a month?
Yeah. Nearly $1 billion a year, yeah.
That's crazy. They have a lot of money.
Just off of subscriptions alone, not even off of the microtransactions.
Yeah, they're making billions and billions.
But, I mean, that's going to be... Activision decided they're no longer posting numbers anymore for World of Warcraft, which is interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah, they posted the last 5.5 million, and... I mean, honestly, it may have... I mean, I don't know if it really matters to anybody at this point. WoW's been in a decline for several years now.
Really slow decline, though. I'm surprised. Like, it's one of the longest-lasting MMOs.
I mean, and honestly, what I think it's that players who have been playing for a really long time aren't giving up, because I mean, they've put so much time into the game, and I don't know, maybe they just haven't hit their stride yet. Like,
yeah,
once this latest one came out, I don't even remember what it's called, I decided I'm done. Like, I'd been playing since Burning Crusade.
So
I started playing that game when it first came out and gave up right before the first expansion.
Right before Burning Crusade. So you stopped, I started. So I don't know, man. It's on its way out, I think. WoW is, even though they have their new expansion, they announced the release date for, I think, September 2016. So they have a little less than a full year to go.
Interesting.
Well, speaking about money,
Monarch.
Did y'all hear about the 11-pound diamond-studded Master Chief helmet?
Oh gosh, not until you told me about it.
So this 11-pound diamond-studded like Master Chief helmet, it sells for $34,000 on eBay.
Freaking ridiculous.
I feel like it should have sold for a lot more. I mean,
that's probably true.
Covered in diamonds. The only part that doesn't have diamonds on it is the visor.
That's freaking ridiculous, dude. I'm looking at a picture of it right now.
All the proceeds went to Make-A-Wish Foundation, right?
Yeah, it was to some. It may have been Make-A-Wish. I know that
it made it.
It was a cosplayer who made the helmet, and
where did he get the diamonds?
Well, there's this Australian fashion designer and worked with Beyonce and the model Giselle, however you say her name.
Oh,
they crystals. Added the jewels.
Good grief! Yeah,
they're crystals.
And that light, $34,000 seems like nothing. That's like jump.
They're. Change. I just read that they're crystals and not diamonds.
Okay. Well, that changes things a little bit.
Yeah. I read one article title that says diamond studded, but it's okay. That definitely makes sense now that it sells for $34,000.
Yeah. All right. That's a good amount. That actually seems about right.
I'll tell you, like, if I put this up for auction, I would have started the auction over $34,000.
$1 million.
Anyway, I thought that was just kind of funny, I guess.
That's really interesting. Can you at least wear it? Not that anyone would want to, but...
It looks like it's life-sized.
Okay.
Yeah, it's he designed it based off of some of his cosplay. I was just watching the video about it.
There you go. Well, at least there's that. You can put it on and walk around in public. See what happens.
I don't
happens.
Think I would. Not after spending $34,000 on it.
He's going to use it for paintball. I'm sure that's why he bought it.
So, and speaking of $30,000, there is a very generous donation made to Star Citizen of $30,000.
Was it the same guy that bought the helmet?
Not the same guy, as it turns out. So I read that Star Citizen has actually gathered up $94 million since October of 2012.
Freaking insane.
That's...
I'm pretty sure it's, like, of in the history of games, I think it's the most successful, or, I mean, money-wise or funding-wise, community-funded game.
Yeah, it $94 million.
Freaking insane, dude.
Gosh.
So what's their deal? Are they just not building the game so they can come out with it? Is it just taking too long? Is it costing more than they thought?
I mean, from what Nate tells me, that they're actually giving out updates every week about the things that they're completing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that's true.
So what all have they completed, do you know?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing that has to be pointed out is that from day one, they like started painting this picture of like this perfect game that is actually freaking huge. Like, nobody's ever attempted a game like the one that they've described. And so that might be their undoing. But anyways, with that in mind, I didn't really follow it when it was in early production. I didn't even really find out about that game until like the end of 2014-ish. Kind of last winter is when I caught wind of it. And by then, they had already established a working beta. Well, it's not even in beta stage. It's like alpha. Like, it's like really early, really early. But they had a working dogfighter going that actually is one of the most beautiful space sims that I've ever seen. So graphically, they've done a lot. Like, they've done a lot of animation videos revealing just the way that they've worked on animations, the way that they've handcrafted every single section of every level that they have, I guess, in the game so far. And just like their ships, I've watched a lot of videos on each individual ship. It's insane the amount of detail that they've managed to put in. So, I mean, from my perspective, I would say that it makes sense, I guess, to an extent, that it's taking them so long. But that's not to say that I don't think that that's a bad thing. I mean, I think that there comes a point where maybe, like, you know, there's too much detail. I think there's a point where you can hurt the future of the game if you're trying to do something too big. I think at some point they're just going to have to cut the losses and just try to get it out. But I have to say, I am impressed with what they've accomplished. I mean, it's pretty mesmerizing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't doubt that they've definitely done some extremely good work. It kind of puts any of the modules that they've delayed indefinitely kind of in a spotlight once you've heard that they've, you know, collected $94 million.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's been a really big controversy from what I've seen.
Yeah. But luckily, some delays that we won't be experiencing, at least as far as I know, are some November 17th releases, which will be two games that I'm extremely excited about. Will be Star Wars Battlefront, and also Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Boom. And let's not forget, of course, in 3 days, Fallout 4.
And Fallout 4, actually, yeah, I forgot about that. Totally slipped. Yeah, so Fallout 4 as well.
Fallout 4. It's a great game. You should try it.
Comes out on the 10th, yep. I actually plan on going to Best Buy tomorrow and pre-ordering Tomb Raider.
Nice.
Just so, I mean, I can't wait to give them my money fast enough.
Take my money. Just take my money.
I've been excited about Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider, ever since I saw the first
Tomb Raider.
Actually, yeah, maybe even since the last Tomb Raider. And actually, so I bought the Uncharted collection.
Oh, nice.
And so I've been playing through those. And
those are pretty comparable, I think.
And I was talking to Chad, and Chad was like, you know what? This game reminds me of another game. You know what? This reminds me of Tomb Raider. And it hit me. I was like, you know what? I think Uncharted is the reason why I like Tomb Raider so much, because Uncharted plays a lot the same way. Well, like the over-the-shoulder shooting type of thing.
Third-person view, like shooter, yeah.
And also, there's a lot of climbing in Uncharted.
Like, yeah, adventure, like jumping, exploring.
Yeah, yeah. So
overcoming puzzle climbs and whatnot.
And they're both story-based, and, you know, it's just...
There's character depth.
It just all, they kind of mesh. And, you know, both of those games are made by two completely different companies. So
it's just, that's pretty interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
It's pretty crazy. Because Square Enix does Tomb Raider, and Uncharted is made by Naughty Dog.
That's really interesting, because if I were to play both of those in the same day in front of my family, they probably wouldn't realize that I was playing two different games.
Yeah, actually. So, anyway, so, Daniel.
Yes, sir.
You gonna get that Star Wars edition in PlayStation 4?
Boom.
Oh, God, I would love to drop some money on it.
I've heard that the PlayStations are actually dropping to $300 for Black Friday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but are those Darth Vader model editions going to be available on Black Friday?
Make sure you don't get tackled and, you know, stampede, crushed, and, you know, pepper sprayed when you're dashing through the door to get that thing.
You have seen the size of me, right, Nate?
Yeah, I don't think it'll save you, man. I've seen these crowds, and if you're not going to, you know, suffocate from the Thanksgiving farts that are being passed around while people are running to the store, then you're going to get crushed or pepper sprayed or shot in the face by somebody who wants that PlayStation more than you.
I work security at a mall for 10 years on Black Friday.
Oh, that's true. Okay. Yeah, you've got yeah.
I've learned a thing or two.
I forgot that I'm talking to that guy. Okay. That's right. So yeah, what I'm hearing is you have a gun and some pepper spray that you'll be taking with you.
Maybe not the gun, but yeah.
Well, I just, honestly, I would definitely buy one if I didn't already have a PlayStation 4.
What you can do is sell your PlayStation 4.
Oh.
And go get a new one.
Ideas.
I don't think that'll... Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want it that bad.
I mean,
myself through the hassle of selling my PlayStation. Plus, I'm sure someone will be like, "Yeah, I'll give it to you for like half the price." I was like, "No."
What is it? Have y'all gone to GameStop's website right now?
I have not.
It's so hilarious. If you go to their website like right now, and like the very first thing that they show on their homepage is you get a $250 credit if you trade in your Xbox towards a purchase of a new Xbox.
Wait.
Like a 360? What? Or just an Xbox One?
$250 credit when you trade in your PS4 or your Xbox One toward the purchase of a new Xbox One.
Oh, wait. But you can trade a PS4 as well?
Yeah, that's PS4 or
pretty
Xbox
big.
One.
That
but
right there.
Why would you want to trade in an Xbox One for a purchase of a new Xbox One?
Some people like those shiny little...
I mean, I guess...
Plates. They don't want scratches.
No. I mean, like, I think, because from what I can tell, there's like a Halo edition that they're next to a regular edition. True. So I think that they're trying to like sell off their.
They do have they have Titanfall editions too. So there are a lot of different editions.
Yeah,
that's true.
Wow, look, Call of Duty Black Ops 3 also has a PlayStation. So I think I actually read an article too that. It seems like Sony is definitely not afraid of pairing with third parties to make hardware. Well, of course, you know, they're only making the plates or whatever, but, you know, that's still, it seems, it's kind of cool. I don't know.
I think Sony's being a little more creative with their marketing strategies, for sure.
Yeah, because that makes Star Wars, Call of Duty, they did it for Batman. I don't know if they did one for Forza or not. I know that they've done at least one more, so it's pretty crazy.
Well, and I mean, they used to have that really funny guy in all their PlayStation commercials. What was his name? Do you guys remember those?
Gary, Greg, I can't remember his name.
He had like the red hair, and they just had all these advertisements. He was hilarious.
I don't remember.
Oh gosh, I'm gonna have to look that up.
He was the guy that always was like, Do you like games? Da, 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 da. And he would just like start talking about random stuff.
Yeah, and it was like just he was one of those. He was funny because he had this just overabundant sense of confidence in everything that
Kevin
he did.
Butler.
Yes, Kevin Butler. Oh my gosh, that was his alias name. But he was freaking awesome. You've got to watch all of the commercials with him, dude. I have sat there and watched 15-minute montages of just his commercials because he's awesome.
Wow.
I mean, they need to bring him back.
I only think of him for like the ESPN commercials.
He has a fan base, dude. Like, people love
him. I wouldn't doubt it.
It's like 19 commercials it looks like he's done.
Oh, more than that, dude.
Oh, yeah, there's actually a whole crap ton.
There are a lot.
Looks like the last commercial he did was in 2011, though.
There were tons. Like, I'm still finding new ones.
Crazy.
But anyways, yeah, he was great. And, yeah, props to PlayStation, Sony for doing that.
Actually, I saw the commercial for Black Ops 3. It was really funny, too.
Really?
Yeah, it was like... It was like it had the guy who's playing Creed. I don't remember his name, but he was also the fire guy in Fantastic Four.
Oh, that Human guy. Torch. Okay. Uh-huh. Well, he also plays Captain America.
Is he in Captain America?
Yeah, he's Captain America.
The black guy?
Or what? Oh, no, not the black guy. Not in the new Fantastic Four, the old Fantastic Four.
Woo!
All right. Oh, you're talking about Chris Evans.
Yeah, Chris Evans about the is new what Fantastic I was thinking of. Four. My yeah, bad. No. Okay, that guy.
Plays Creed in the upcoming movie Creed. Anyway, he's describing this guy. He's like, have you heard of Kyle? Or whatever his name is. It's like some random guy. He's like, have you heard of Kyle? Kyle's the best.
Oh, yeah.
Best player, blah, blah, blah. And it shows him, like, running around, and he's, like, killing everybody and stuff. And then eventually he gets shot.
He's, like, this nerd gamer.
Yeah. And eventually he gets, like, shot or killed or whatever, and this girl comes down, just like, have you heard of Linda? Linda's the best.
He's like, what? You haven't heard about Linda? he gives you this look.
I think my favorite Sony commercial, though, was, like, the Long Live Play one where... you see all the game characters are like in a bar.
Oh, that was
and they're talking
really
about they're talking about a player, and you find out that the player that they're talking about is you.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It's pretty creative. Cool. Oh yeah, Sony. That's one thing that if I just if I didn't really like the Xbox controller and some of the games on Xbox, I would go to a PlayStation only because of their marketing. I love their marketing strategies.
The marketing kind of reminds me of like back in the day between Nintendo and Sega, because like Sega had these like off the wall crazy commercials, and like
yeah, I've seen some of those,
and like Nintendo was like these just it was just like basic description of their games, and like Sega's like Sega, it's just
that's a good impression.
It was just crazy commercials back then. I mean, that's kind of what the PlayStation Xbox marketing kind of reminds me of. It's like Microsoft has like, here's our games, here's how we're good, blah blah blah. We're Microsoft, and Sony's like, long live the player, or Kevin Butler, or here, have you met these players? Things like
they
that.
They take it's themselves just... less seriously, which is what I appreciate about them.
Well, guys, do y'all have anything else y'all want to add before we close off this podcast?
Everybody go buy Fallout 4. You too, Marcus.
Everything's better with cheddar.
Roast beef and cheddar?
I can see that, man. I'm thinking about Arby's now.
All right.
Fries.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Knights of the Game Table. I want to thank Mr. Daniel and Mr. Nate for joining me on this episode. Stay tuned to thetempleofgeek.com for the next all-new episode. And as always, thank you for listening.
Please follow us on Twitter @Temple of Geek.
follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Temple of Geek. And remember to visit thetempleofgeek.com, your one stop for all things geek. Congratulations! This story is a happy ending. Thank you.